All right, we are back with you here on this Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday at this time, it is the Hugh Jackson Show, and we bring in the coach of the Raiders right now. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing good. I trust you enjoyed a couple of days maybe away from the guys. I mean, what did you do during the bye week?
I was right in the office working at it. I'm glad I was away from the players, but I didn't make it far from the office.
No, I know. But I know you watched the – you said you were going to watch a lot of NFL football on Sunday, and then I'm sure you watched the game last night. So you got your NFL fix in, right?
I got it all in through the weekend and through yesterday.
Isn't it amazing we watch NFL football and we see something like a center exchange cost a team a game? I mean, you've been in this game a long time, and that's why you got to play until the game's over.
Absolutely. There's no plays that you can take off. One play can change the game just so fast.
All right, I want to talk to you first about Carson Palmer, and then we'll move on. You had the practice yesterday after the guys had been gone for a couple of days. Did you notice a difference? He had spent the bye week working with a couple of the receivers, and if so, what was the difference that you noticed?
I just think his rhythm and timing with the players, because obviously he spent more time with them. I think they kind of understood how the ball, the trajectory of his ball, was a little bit different than Jason's. And just his tempo, his mannerisms, how he goes about calling the offense. I think it was a really good few days for them during the bye week, and it was a really good first practice.
I had Carson on Wednesday, and the thing that he was most impressed with is, you know, this is the bye week. You know, Coach, the guys had this circled. They want to get away, and they all have plans. And he said that the thing that impressed him the most was the fact that guys were going to just say, hey, you know what, we're going to stay back and work with you. And Carson said that really meant a lot and shows that, you know, where the commitment is on your team.
Yes, no, it does. I think our players understand that the times now that we have an opportunity, and they're trying to make sure that we live up to that.
All right, so let's talk about the signing today of T.J. Houshmandzadeh. What is it that you saw in him that you wanted him to be on your team?
Well, I see a guy who has, you know, played for me before, who is very strong working inside, who's a veteran presence on this football team, knows how to play the type of tempo that I'm looking for with this offense, and I think he can really be a mentor for some of our younger players.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question, and this is the question via Twitter, and each and every week you can follow the Raiders on Twitter, at Twitter or at Grant Napier Show, and it comes from Puget Zulo. And Coach, the question is, what can TJ teach the young wideouts, and how will his guidance complement the Raiders coaching staff?
I mean, I think here's a guy who's been in the league for 10 years that have seen probably every secondary coverage known to man and how linebackers play. He knows how to work really diligently underneath and how guys need to sink their hips and get out of breaks and how to prepare. And I think our guys are getting that and they're working at it. But I think when you have another pro in a room who's done it at a high level real consistently, I think the guys tend to follow that guy just a little bit more.
Do you expect him to be on the field Sunday?
Oh, I think he has a chance to be out there. Yes, sir.
All right, let's talk about Lito Shepherd, another player that obviously was in your camp and then was cut before the 53-man roster. You've signed him. What is it that you're looking for from him?
Again, another player who has some veteran presence, who's played in this league, who's been successful in this league, who was with us in training camp, you know, and we let him go because we wanted to give those young players a chance, and then we've gotten some injuries here lately, and some guys haven't bounced back as fast, and so because he was really the best corner out there, we went and got him, and obviously he's familiar with us and knows our system, so it was, in my opinion, was a slam dunk.
All right, so now you're going to have some roster moves here shortly. When will that be announced?
I think that will be announced here soon, later on tonight or tomorrow.
Okay, Hugh Jackson joining us. I want to get to the Facebook question. You can go to the Raiders Facebook page and the Sports 1140 player of the game. Since there was no week, Coach, we asked for the followers to the Facebook Raiders page to name the offensive MVP so far. They chose McFadden. The defensive MVP so far, they chose Seymour. And the special teams player, Janikowski, were their three picks. I want to start with Seabass. He did not play for you in the last game. Where's he at right now as we head to Denver on Sunday?
I think he's getting closer. Obviously, he didn't practice on Monday, but I think he's getting closer, and there's a chance for him to be there this weekend.
All right, and then, of course, Darren McFadden, who also played very briefly in the Kansas City game. He was in a boot last week. The home game coming up, and then a short week to San Diego. Where's he at right now with his status for Sunday?
Again, I'll know more tomorrow as we get ready to head to practice. He did not practice Monday, and we're going to see where he is and where he's going to be at tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to give you what I heard today when I was watching John Clayton, and he said on a short work week, he said, you know what, McFadden probably should be able to go on Sunday, but that is such a big game on Thursday. Does the fact that you have such a short work week after this game on Sunday, is that going to influence any of your decisions when it comes to injuries this week?
No, it would not. I mean, if we have some guys who are better served to not play this week but are injured but are close, I doubt if we have anybody in that boat. I don't think our guys, if they can't go, they can't go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just where we are. But if there was one who was close, and as I said, I don't know that just yet, and it would be better for him to maybe move over to next Thursday's night game, and then we would consider it.
All right, here you are. You got three teams in your division that are now tied at 4-3. And I've always heard that after the bye week, when you get into November, that there is no more room for error. I mean, this is, you're all starting with a fresh slate. Are you? I don't want to say happy, but are you content where your team is right now as you head into this last stretch of the season?
Yes, I am, because it's the record we've earned. And we've had an opportunity to get through a transition period. I think we're better. I'm not sure exactly. Obviously, when we play the game, we'll have a better idea exactly where we are. But I know this much. I think the team is really excited about playing. They know we got a game here at home and then a real good big game on the road coming up here soon. They were very excited about getting back here to work. Understand that we have three teams in our division of 4-3, and we're right in the thick of this thing, and we kind of control our own destiny. So we're very excited about it.
What about for you? You waited a long time to get this opportunity to be a head coach in the National Football League. What for you has been the most gratifying part of training camp in the first seven games of the season?
Watching this team grow each and every day, watching this team fight and come together and fight for a common cause. I mean, I think this team is truly fighting for, you know, the city of Oakland. I think we're fighting for this organization. And I think we're all doing it within coaches' visions, which is commitment to excellence. And we haven't been excellent yet, but we're chasing it. And I know if we keep working like we've worked, that we're going to land on something really good.
What is the biggest difference when you go and you move to that the next step of being a head coach in the NFL? Is there the one thing that stands out above the rest?
Yeah, dealing with the media every day. That's probably about it. That's really different and something you have to prepare yourself for. But I really appreciate and respect the job that those men and ladies do, and I hope that they respect the job that I have to do.
And you have been a lot different. And when I say a lot different, I mean your philosophy is, hey, you know, I'm available. I'm going to market this team. I'm going to get out. I'm going to talk to the fans. I'm going to talk to the media. There are coaches that that don't do that. I mean, where did that stem from in your philosophy and how you've dealt with the media this year?
Well, because I truly believe that I am one of the key pieces within the organization that needs to, you know, have myself be available to talk about the organization. I think we have one of the best organizations in football. And I know the people here do a tremendous job each and every day. And I think to have their head coach have an opportunity to talk about what goes on here, whether it be about the players or about the people here, Mark Davis, Amy Trask, I think that's very, very important.
During training camp, and when we were in Napa, we talked so much about the offensive line. And like all teams, hey, you got to have a good offensive line to be successful in this league. Have they surpassed your expectations? Are they where you thought they would be? I mean, you got some young guys playing there. It seems like they've played very well for you in the first 7 weeks.
No, they have. They've done a really good job. They've done they've really taken the league of their position coaches of Bob Wiley and Steve Wisniewski. Those guys have done a tremendous job of preparing those men to go out and fight and play hard each week. And now we got to do it again. We got 9 games here to earn a 10th, and that's what we got to do. We got to go take everything to another level.
All right, let's talk about your opponent this week, a divisional game. Week one, it was a close game, but that was with a different quarterback. They're going to go with Tebow and certainly up and down. But when you play a quarterback that has such an ability to run, how does that change things defensively for you?
Well, you got to get him on the ground. I mean, if he's going to run, we got to do a great job of getting this young man on the ground because he is a runner with the football. You know, and when he runs like a running back. So we understand that and respect that.
And a divisional game, and I say this because of what we saw in Philadelphia on Sunday night and what we saw, you know, with some of these other games on Sunday where a St. Louis, who has not won a game, comes home and beats a team like New Orleans and beats them easily. On a bye week, on the heels of a 28-0 loss, you don't have to guard it. You don't have to worry about any overconfidence. You don't have to worry about taking it off,
no,
right?
I don't think we have to worry about that at all. We kind of stunk up the joint the last time we played, and I think we recognize that and understand that, and that's on me. And what we're going to do is go back and get that taste out of our mouth this week. We got a big game against the Broncos in the O, and we're looking forward to it.
A question that I got from a texter, and I wanted to pass this along to you. When you have such a the following week is only 3 days, is there some game planning that goes in for the Chargers game before you get to Sunday?
Yeah, there are some ideas that you keep in your back pocket because you won't have an opportunity to practice like a normal week. So there is some planning ahead that you do. But obviously the focus has to be, one game at a time. Obviously it's Denver right now, and we'll definitely get to that San Diego game when it shows up.
Coach, always good having you on. We'll look forward to it next Tuesday. Have a good week.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Hugh Jackson on the Hugh Jackson Show right here during the bye week, talking about T.J. Houshmandzadeh, talking about what he likes in Palmer, talking about, and I thought it was good. What do you got to do with a running quarterback? You got to get him on the ground. Again, I'm going to repeat what I just said. On any given Sunday, we just saw it this past week in the NFL with St. Louis destroying New Orleans. But there is just no way that I'm going to come into work here on Monday and talk about a Raiders loss. I don't care. There is absolutely no excuse. I don't care if McFadden and Janikowski don't play. I don't care if Carson Palmer gets hurt in the first series. There is no excuse to lose to the Denver Broncos on Sunday. None. This is a bad, bad football team they're playing on Sunday. This is a bad football team with a bad quarterback. Period. They've got a quarterback that is not ready to play in the NFL. They've got a lot of problems. They have nobody to cover. I mean, I'll tell you that Denver should not score a touchdown on Sunday. Let's just call it the way it is. They shouldn't even score a touchdown. The Raiders need to blow out the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Plain and simple. We'll be right back. More to come here on Sports Radio KHTK.